Good singing. Thanks so much. That's does my heart good whenever we have the water on the floor. Whenever we have the opportunity to sing, bring our hearts together, bring our voices together as one voice, lifting them up to the Lord. Before I read the scripture to you this morning, I want to give you a little of the backstory of the message this evening on God's perspective on time management. I was talking with a dear friend of mine about two months ago, and I was just talking with him about how difficult and what a challenge it is to cram everything into the hours that have been given to us. And some of you know that I struggle with this idea of time management and Sabbath keeping and putting God first and trying to mix this all together while working 7 days a week. You know, 5 days at Fort Allen Elementary School as an aide, and then 2 days at Domino's, where I will be going actually after the service this evening because we are shorthanded and I need to go to work this evening. And I was saying to him, you know, what do I need to do to cram all this stuff into the time that I have? And he said to me, Patrick, I don't know if you're asking the right question. You know, how is the right question, how do I cram all this stuff into the week, the days that we've been given? Or is a better question, what do we need to be thinking about in order to find fulfillment in life? What do we need to prioritize? What do we need to be mindful of? Where do we find fulfillment? And so he charted something out on a piece of notebook paper similar to this, and it was basically my week, you know, Sunday through Saturday, and what I did on that particular week, and I won't go into the nitty-gritty details. He said to me, Patrick, what you need to figure out is, where is the white space on your schedule? Where is the free time in your schedule? And I said to him, quite frankly, it's like, well, I don't have any free time. There is no time available to me. He's like, take a couple hours, think about it, and then get back in touch with me. So I went back and charted my own week on a piece of notebook paper after he showed me the diagram. There it is. You can't see it. I don't have a PowerPoint. Just trust me that it's there. That's Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, and Sunday. And where you see the line, that's not white space, but where you see like little words like free time, that's where the free time is. And I came to understand that I did have free time, that I did have time to prioritize, to be mindful, to find fulfillment in things that I just was kind of losing track of in the busy, in the midst of a busy 7 day a week work week. So that's kind of the backstory. And as I talked with my friend about this, you know, he pointed me to two scriptures that I'm going to read to you after we pray. One from the Old Testament, Hosea chapter 10, verse 12, and the other one, other verses from the New Testament, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 16 through 18. So when we kind of get our minds wrapped around what scriptures I'm going to be reading, let's pray. God, you are a great God. You are the one who manages our time, and we need to seek you for the direction to find the white space, to find the free time, to find those opportunities where, though we might struggle to keep them, find the time to spend with those near and dear to us. Spend time in your word studying. Spend time talking with you, for Lord, those are the most important things. You and those that are near and dear to our hearts. And sometimes, Lord, we squeeze those things out. And so, Lord, forgive me for squeezing those things out these past several months. Help me to continue in the struggle, and help all of us, Lord, to find that time that we need, the opportunities to interact with you, the opportunities to be close to those who desire to be close to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Hosea 10, verse 12. Listen to the word of the Lord. Sow for yourselves righteousness. Reap the fruit of unfailing love. Break up your unplowed ground, for it is time to seek the Lord until he comes and showers righteousness on you. And then from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 16 through 18. Therefore, we do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. A blessing be upon you who have heard and received. For this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So right here in Hosea 10, verse 12, there are a number of different instructions for us that the Lord desired to use and desires to use in my life to think about God's perspective on time management. It says in that verse, break up the unplowed ground. And the unplowed ground in my life was the denial that there was any space or time to give back to God. Now, a different application of this would be repentance, because Hosea obviously is preaching against the sin of the Israelites, but that wasn't the application that the Lord gave to me from that particular verse. To break up the unplowed ground, to take a look at my schedule, all of us, to take a look at our schedules and see if we've made time for the white space. See if we've made that thing called free time and transform that free time into renewal time. And that's part of what the Lord has been teaching me, is that there are beginnings for things and there are endings for things. There are times to get the things done that we need to get done. And then there are the times where we need to sit back and relax and enjoy the things that we've already got done and already got accomplished. But part of finding that time and finding that space is being open to what God wants you to do with that time. You know, when we have a particular place in our lives which is resistant to the plow, God's turning over the soil, we need to dig a little bit and break up and ask God to break up that soil that He has, that we have, the soil of our heart, that we've hardened to Him. The soil that results in denial of those things that are important to you. The soil of places left neglected for a time. And I thought about that in relation to my family, and I thought about that particularly in relation to my wife and my children. And so much of what I do is work that oftentimes I forget about the three blessings that are sitting right there in my home with me. And my daughter is back in her room on her electronic device. My son is over on his computer watching YouTube videos. My wife is working till late hours. And I learned that if you're not intentional about scheduling that time with your children, scheduling that time with your wife, it's not going to be there. You're not going to make time to do it. If it's not on your radar, then you're not in a place to grow the relationship that you have with your children, with your wife. So God showed me that the unplowed ground in my life was the lack of time that I was spending with my children and my wife. And there might be something in your life that's unplowed ground. There might be those stubborn places of resistance where you're squeezing out those things that you should be squeezing in. And I invite you, as I did, to ask the Lord to search those places. Ask the Lord to find you out. Open yourself up to what He wants you to do with those unplowed places and turn it over to Him, just like we turn over the soil and the ground to plant a flower or a tree. And see what beauty the Lord can bring out of that ground that you've turned over to Him. So break up the unplowed ground is the first idea that I want you to think about. So after you break up that unplowed ground, Hosea says that we are able to sow for ourselves righteousness. First part of verse 12. The break up the unplowed ground is the third part of that, and I'll be bouncing around the verse a bit. Sow for ourselves righteousness. So when planting a seed, you can't just leave the seed in the ground. The seed needs water. The seed needs sunlight. The seed needs air. The seed oftentimes needs a little coaxing to move around to what it needs to become. So God wants us to not sow a seed, but to sow righteousness. And how does one sow righteousness? Well, righteousness is a right relationship with God. So how do we sow a right relationship with God? We spend time with God. We spend time with God in prayer. We spend time with God in study. We spend time with God in fellowship. We spend time with God in meditation. And as we spend that time with Him, and as God spends that time with us, righteousness grows. Our relationship becomes not perfect, but right. But not fully right until we cross from this life to the next and go to be with Jesus for eternity. So we sow for ourselves righteousness, a right relationship with God. The next thing that Hosea talks about is to reap the fruit of unfailing love. Reap the fruit of unfailing love. Now, looking at it through Old Testament eyes, as Hosea and the people of Israel did, that would probably mean adherence to the law and the perfect requirements of the law. But in our day and age, looking at it through New Testament eyes, we see not the law to fulfill, because we can't, but we see God's grace abound because we can't fulfill the law. So in order to reap the fruit of unfailing love, God, by His grace, extends His mercy to us, that we might be forgiven of our sins, that we might be reborn into a loved relationship with God, not an unloved relationship with God. So we reap the fruit of unfailing love after we break up the unplowed ground, after we sow for ourselves righteousness, then we're able to reap the fruit of unfailing love. Hosea next encourages us to seek the Lord. And I think that idea of sowing for ourselves righteousness and seeking the Lord are almost two sides of the same coin. Micah, later on in the Old Testament, says, what does the Lord require of us? He asks this question of himself and all of us. And he says it is to do justly, do justice, love mercy, and walk humbly with our God. So seeking the Lord is about doing justice and loving mercy and walking humbly. Responding in faith to the invitation that God gives to us, the gift that He offers to us again and again and again, depending upon how hard or how unbroken that clod of soil is in our lives. So we prioritize. We prioritize our time by breaking up the unplowed ground, by sowing for ourselves righteousness, by reaping the fruit of unfailing love. And we're mindful of our time. We're mindful of our time as we seek the Lord. And sometimes we need to seek the Lord again and again and again and again, because God does not always answer immediately to us. He doesn't always say yes. Oftentimes He'll say no or wait. But in the midst of being mindful of our time in the midst of seeking the Lord, God calls upon us to not lose heart. And that's kind of the place that I was before I talked with my friend a couple of months ago. And I thought to myself, you know, there's no way, thinking before the conversation, that I'm ever going to be able to get on top of all the things that I need to do, all the time that I need to spend, all the places that I need to go, all the chores and errands and tasks and taxi cab driving and pizza delivery driving and accompanying students through halls and teaching. And I'm never going to get on top of all of those things. So I found myself in a place where, well, what's the use? Why should I even try? And that's when I asked the question of my friend about how to get on top of this. And he said to me, Patrick, it's not a question of getting on top of things. It's a question of figuring out what are the most important things and not worry about those secondary and tertiary things that you think you need to do first. But focus on the important things. Don't lose heart. Seek the Lord. So Isaiah tells us to break up the unplowed ground, sow for ourselves righteousness, reap the fruit of unfailing love, seek the Lord. And then that great ending of the verse, until he comes, talking about God, talking about Jesus, and showers righteousness on you. You ever been working out on a really hot summer day, mowing the grass or trimming the hedges or making your outside look presentable, and you're so hot and you're so sweaty and all you want to do is go in and get a shower, and then you go in and you're hot and you're sweaty and hopefully your house is cool if your air conditioning is working, but if it's not, then it's not. And you go down and you get that shower, and it's like, it's an experience, at least for me it's an experience, because you come out of that shower clean. You come out of that shower not sweaty, not gross, not hot, not disgusting anymore. And just imagine God pouring down righteousness on you in that shower, covering you with his righteousness, getting to every pore of your being, filling every pore of your being with his love. And the relief that you have from that, the knowledge that in the 24 hours that you have when you're trying to cram in 40 hours worth of work, that you're not alone, that God is with you, that God is partnering with you in that journey. So God showers righteousness. He showers himself. He pours out himself upon you. And we see that, you know, evident in the cross when Jesus poured out his life for us, his blood that was shed for us, his body that was broken for us. And that blood that was poured out for us is cleansing blood. And that brokenness that Jesus was broken, that brokenness of Jesus makes us whole. And it cleanses us. It cleanses us from our sins. It cleanses us from all unrighteousness. It cleanses us from those things that just don't really matter all that much in the grand scheme of things. So we're mindful of our time as we seek the Lord, as we don't lose heart.
And then Paul, in the closing 3 minutes that I have, or thereabouts, adds to that. He says, the passage is introduced with us not losing heart. The outward man, the stuff that you see, is wasting away. You know, we're all getting older. You know, our bodies are eventually going to fade away, but that doesn't touch the spirit that's living inside of us. The spirit doesn't waste away. The spirit grows. And the spirit embraces us. And the spirit challenges us. And the Holy Spirit transforms us. That we might be renewed, not month by month or year by year, but day by day. Every day. The Lord desires to renew us. He desires to set the Spirit free in our lives and step back and watch what the Spirit can do through us. And Paul talks about those time suckers in our lives as light and momentary troubles. Light and momentary troubles. But they seem so big. They seem so huge. They seem so large. They seem so insurmountable. But he talks about them as light and momentary troubles. Things that we can overcome and then move beyond. And then the new set of challenges we can overcome and then move beyond. But they're instructors, those light and momentary troubles. They're instructors about what we need to focus our attention, what needs to have our attention. They paint the picture as less. No, not less. Those light and momentary troubles box us in if we allow them to. But when we learn from them and when we put them into the bigger picture, they achieve for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So even those little things that really irritate the heck out of us, we may focus our attention on those little things, but they're designed to draw our attention away from themselves to the bigger things, the important things that I was talking about earlier. The people that are important to us. My wife, my son, my daughter. So how do we do that? How do we learn from those little things? How do we move beyond them boxing us in? Well, Paul has an answer on for that too. He says, we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. What is that that's unseen? Faith, according to the author of Hebrews, is the assurance of things hoped for and the certainty of things not seen. So we focus on faith. We focus on grace. We focus on mercy. We focus on finding fulfillment in the relationship that we have with God first, and the relationship that we have with our families and others second, and the other things will fall into place. We fix our eyes on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. So, when we prioritize our time, putting God first, others second, ourselves third, when we are mindful of that time that we're given, looking for the white space, the free time to fill with those things that are important to us, because the one thing I forgot to mention at the beginning of the message was there are a lot of things that are required of us, you know, throughout the week. You know, I'm required to work 40 hours a week as an aide at Fort Allen Elementary School, otherwise I don't get paid. You know, I'm not required to work at Domino's the other 20 hours a week that I work at Domino's. But I do that in order to ease the financial burden in our home. But beyond those 60 hours, there's another, see what I did the math, 168 hours altogether. So that leaves you 108 hours. I didn't do that right. Over 100 hours a week to figure out where God needs to fit into your life, where God, where you need to fit God into your life, where you need to fit your family into your life. And as we come to understand those eternal things, God offers us renewal. He offers us renewal day by day by day. We don't have to go on some retreat somewhere, although they're nice for a weekend or a week. But sometimes we just need to go on a retreat for an hour or two with God to put all these things into perspective. And when we do that, God pours out His blessing upon us. God pours out His Spirit upon us. And God refocuses our attention on the eternal things and uses those temporary things as instructors to show us that which is most important. Let's pray. God, help us to seek You in our lives. Help us to clearly distinguish between the important things and the unimportant things. Help us, Lord, to love You, knowing, Lord, that You will always love us back. Renew us, transform us, change us. Pour out Your Holy Spirit upon us. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen.
We're going to close the service with a song called No Matter What. If you'll please stand, the words should be coming up on the screen.